You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Gracious Lord, we give you thanks that you are God who addresses your people. Speak now, Lord, and may we be a people who can hear. You've lifted the veil. Nothing can separate us from you. May we see you as you revealed yourself in your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose holy name I pray. Amen. Well, the year 1969, Robert Plant put his finger on the root of human problems, communication breakdown. Do you remember that wonderful single from Led Zeppelin's debut album, Communication Breakdown? All the problems that you and I have come from a communication breakdown. Just think in your own life for a moment where you might be experiencing communication breakdown. A relationship, perhaps an employer or an employee, a neighbor. Of course, Robert Plant was speaking about a lover. He was speaking about a girl. And he said, communication breakdown, it's always the same. Communication breakdown, driving me insane. In other words, I love you, girl, but I don't know how to communicate. I don't know how to make this happen. I remember this experience as a teenager, not just with girlfriends, but with my parents, just feeling like they never understood. Or my teachers, or my coaches, or my friends. Maybe you're a teenager here today and you feel that way. Quoting Will Smith, parents just don't understand. Communication breakdown, it's at the heart of what's going on in the human condition. We see it in our personal lives, we see it on a global scale. We see global leaders who can't understand one another. There's a communication breakdown. Yeah, Robert Plant put his finger on it. By the way, that album was not well reviewed at the beginning. If you go back and listen to it, the critics were wrong. I think they repented. Eventually, we saw the genius of that first album. Just listen to John Bonham's opening drum track in Good Times, Bad Times. It'll change your life. In any case, communication breakdown, it's not just human relationships. I think about my dog, Russell. He tries to communicate with me, and I just, what is it, boy? What is it? What are you trying to say? Or my son, who's 18 months, who loves to jibber-jabber, and we try, but we don't quite understand just yet. Those are rather innocent examples, but again, going back to the root of all human problems, it's that initial communication breakdown that took place in the garden. God spoke very clearly. He gave the commandment not to eat of the tree, but interference comes. The serpent whispering in the ear saying, did God really say that? Did God really mean what he said? Surely he didn't mean that. We know better. That was the first communication breakdown. And we've been plagued by it ever since. Perhaps you're experiencing that this morning. Maybe religion has grown cold for you. Does God really love me? Does this matter? Or maybe all of that's been interfered with and broken down because all we've heard is the first word, the law, and we haven't heard the second, the promises of God given forth in the gospel. And that general tenet I hear from many people is be a good person. That's what religion's all about, being a good person. Or even being like Jesus, I hear often. Is that all there is? Is that all that God might be saying to you and to me this morning is try harder, do better? Well, that communication breakdown, of course, began in the garden, but St. Paul talks about how it was amplified even when the law was given. In 2 Corinthians, the reading we just heard, and by the way, it is 2 Corinthians. Don't let Dean Pinter or Will Fagan fool you. These Anglophiles and Canadians, they think it's 2 Corinthians. I mean, look in your bulletin. It says 2 Corinthians. I'm teasing. But Paul tells us that the communication breakdown was exacerbated. When the law was given, Moses came down from the... Will, I'm so sorry. I shouldn't have said that out loud. Moses came down with the two tablets of the law, and of course his face was shining, right? He had the glory of God, the glory of the law upon him, and the people could not bear it. And so what did he do? He veiled his face. The continual communication breakdown. They couldn't handle the truth. And you and I, if we're being honest, we can't either. Moses comes down, and Paul tells us that old ministration of death, that old ministration of condemnation, in chapter 3 he says those words, strong words, that the old covenant was a ministration of death and a ministration of condemnation. It was fading away, and he had to hide his face, and the people could not understand. And to this day, when we read God's word, whether Old or New Testament, and all we hear is the law, all we hear is God's demand, we're not hearing what he's really saying. We've heard part of it. We've heard part of it, but not the full message. Because the law is true. The law is true, but it's not the final word. We see this in Luke's gospel this morning. A similar scene, Jesus going up on the mountain. He's accompanied by his executive committee, Peter, John, and James. That was supposed to be somewhat funny. And like Moses, his face is shining. His clothes are shining. He's got the glory of God upon him. But unlike Moses, his face is not veiled, is it? But the communication breakdown persists. Peter sees Jesus merely as a representative of the old covenant, merely a representative of the law, because Jesus is flanked on his left and his right by Moses and Elijah. Moses, of course, being the great symbol, the figurehead of the law, and Elijah as the prophet, the one who would not give a new law but point to the old law. Of course, Peter says, "Master, it's really good that we're here. I'm so thankful to be here. I'm going to build a booth for you and for Moses and Elijah." Peter is missing the point. The communication breakdown persists. We keep God at arm's length when we only hear his law, and he refuses to be heard there. In fact, he hides himself. We learn in Isaiah, he hides himself behind the law. You won't find him. He doesn't want to be found there. God the Father will not have us mix the two words of the law and the promise. And that's why in this moment the cloud, the pillar of the cloud, overshadows them. And when Jesus emerges, he emerges alone. The law and the prophets fade away. They've driven us to Christ. They've done their work. But Christ alone stands as our hope and our salvation. Those words, solus Christus, one of the great solas of the Reformation, of which you and I are beneficiaries and inheritors. Christ alone is our hope and our salvation. Not Moses, not Elijah, not the demands, but the gospel, found only in him. So between 2 Corinthians and Luke this morning, we see a clear word that you and I are not to mix the law and the gospel. They stand distinct. The law does its work. And it's not meant to inspire. It's not meant to challenge. It's meant to kill and bury us. And it's the gospel alone that can raise us to new life. And what is the gospel this morning? What is the promise of God? God the Father says the words from heaven, "This is my Son, my chosen one. Listen to him." These words echoed from Jesus' baptism. When Jesus was baptized, he received the favor of his Father. When he was baptized and the dove of the Holy Spirit descended upon him, the Father's voice booming from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." The promise was given at his baptism. It was reposted here at the Transfiguration. And unlike Moses, Jesus stands alone, unveiled, revealed, and given for you and for me. And so the question this morning that I've raised at the beginning, where is the communication breakdown for you and for me? What in your life is interfering? What is preventing you from hearing what God is saying to you this morning? What veil have we put before us to avoid hearing the gospel? Jesus removes the veil. Paul tells us only when Jesus is here is the veil removed. And he speaks clearly. And he's a God who can be trusted. God the Father won't let Peter believe that Jesus is on the same plane as Moses and Elijah. But he sets them apart, transfigured and revealed as the very word of God. "This is my Son, the chosen one. Listen to him." He's speaking to you and to me this morning. Not whispering like the serpent in the garden, but loudly proclaiming that we are forgiven, we are free, we are loved, we're included, and we have hope because of his shed blood and his promise on the cross and in the resurrection. Listen to him. He speaks. I've shared this story from the pulpit before, but Thomas Torrance was a theologian in the 20th century, really one of the seminal theologians in the English-speaking world. He studied with Karl Barth. Not that that really matters for you or for me, but kind of a big deal. But he also found himself in World War II as a chaplain there on the European front. In fact, I think he was in the Alps on this particular occasion. And he's a chaplain, and he's skiing. There's a battle, and one of the young soldiers was fatally wounded. and he's laying there ready to die. And so Tom, the chaplain, holds the man in his arms, and the man looks up to him and says, "Is God really like Jesus? His dying breath, his dying hope is, can I trust God? Is he anything like Jesus of Nazareth?" And instead of going into a theological discourse, Tom simply says with a smile, "Yes, God is like Jesus." And the man dies peacefully in his arms. He's able to rest in peace knowing that God is actually true to what he says, that he actually loves us, that he actually forgives us, that he actually is who he says he is. Maybe you're asking the same question this morning. And despite all the communication breakdown, all the veils, all the places in which we hide and evade, maybe God's speaking directly to you now saying, "Yes, I'm just like Jesus. In fact, I am Jesus." If you wonder if God really loves you, where do you look? Where can you trust that the word is trustworthy? The Father's voice booms, "This is my son, listen to him." And he's speaking so clearly this morning that you are forgiven and you are claimed. We can hear from God now in Jesus Christ. That's the great revelation in the season of Epiphany, this final word on this final Sunday of Epiphany. Jesus is the word of God. We can trust him. We can receive him. And what he says is true and trustworthy. And it goes both ways. Now that the communication breakdown has been remedied, not only can we hear God, but God listens to us. We can rightfully pray now to invoke the Torrance name again. I mentioned Tom Torrance a moment ago. For those of you who like to read, there's a small, it's 100 pages. It's the title's a little confusing. It's called Worship, Community, and the Triune God of Grace. But I think it's one of the best primers on what it means to pray as a Trinitarian Christian. Go look that one up. It's by James Torrance, who's Thomas's brother. I've got a copy. I've already promised one person at 7:30 I'd let them borrow it. But when they're done, you can come borrow mine. But I'm sure Amazon has copies, and maybe Anne will get some in the bookstore as well. But God who speaks is also a God who can hear us, and he does hear us, and he listens. I was struck by that this past Friday afternoon. I was sitting about midway back on the pulpit side here as the Ramsey High School Choir sang to us. And I'm charged in this place, as is Adam and Will and the other clergy, to care for souls. But on this afternoon, Friday, my soul was cared for. And the Ramsey High School singers, they sang this song, this hymn setting by Isaac Watts, I Love the Lord, which was made popular by Whitney Houston, actually. I want to read this text to you, and I'll conclude with this. And again, the point being, God speaks, and we can trust him, but God also listens. And so I heard these words on Friday afternoon, and in the best sense of the word, I was wrecked. I sat there and I could not keep my eyes dry as I heard the gospel proclaimed to me. The words go like this: I love the Lord. He heard my cry and pitied every groan. Long as I live, while troubles rise, I'll hasten to his throne. The communication breakdown, we feel like we have a God who doesn't listen. We can trust maybe that we have a God who speaks, but is God listening? And when I hear these words, and when I look upon Jesus Christ, I can trust them. I love the Lord. He heard my cry and pitied every groan. You can cry out to Jesus. He's spoken clearly to you. You can cry back out to him. He receives your cry. He pities your groan. He bears the sins of the world, and he forgives you. He is trustworthy and true. This is God's beloved Son. Listen to him. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you'll join us for one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.